Today's daf is daf mem aleph. So let's take it three lines down. You guys there? So the Gemara had introduced to us a Shuas Heses about Shua Derais and Shua Derabanan. So Gemara is now going to tell us what the nafkamina is between a Shua Derais and Shua Derabanan. So Gemara says three lines down. Mai ika bein Shua Deraisa le Shua Derabanan. Gemara says ika benayu meipach Shua bederaisa le mafchinan Shua bederabanan mafchinan. What does that mean? Could you flip the Shua onto the other guy? Rashi explains two lines down. So the guy says, I don't owe you only, I'm the nitva, I owe you no money. The guy says, take a shua that you don't owe money. I say, you know what, I'd rather you take the shua that I owe you money and I'll pay you. So you could flip it around, are you allowed to? So the Gemara says, when it comes to a deraisa, you cannot flip it around. When it comes to a shua midirbanan, you are allowed to flip it around. Now the basic svar is, because shua deraisa says, I need to take a shua, I can't switch which the deraisa says. The Rabbanan, which was only created by the Chachamim, there seems to be more leeway room in terms of who's going to have to take that Shua mid the Rabbanan. So Gemara says, however, Ulamar Barev Ashi, the Amar Bidaraisa Nami Mefachinan Shua, he does hold even a Deraisa, you can't flip it around. The Nitba could say, I don't want to take a Shua and not pay, I'd rather you take a Shua, Shua Litol, take a Shua that you have to, that you're supposed to collect. So Ma'ika Bein Deraisa the Rabbanan, according to Mar Barev Ashi, whether you could go down to the guy's property if he doesn't take a shua. So when it comes to deraisas, you are able to go down. You could be yorei l'nechasa if you could go down to the guy's property and collect. When it comes to derabanans, you're not allowed to go down to the property and collect. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosi damar b'derabana nami nachtina l'nechasa. Rabbi Yossi says, in general, elsewhere, we're seeing just a second the proof, that even on Dirabanans, you could be Yored in the Lechasav. You could go down to take from his property. As the Mishnah tells us, the Tanan and Maseches Gittin, Bab Metzia and Gittin, I think it's the Mishnah and Gittin, Metzias Chere Shoter Vekatan. Chere Shoter Katan finds a Metzia. So the Lach is really, they have no das to be Kona things. But you can't go along and they pick up a $100 bill, you can't go and snatch it from their hand. That's Yeshbem Gezel Mipnei Darchei Shalom. You don't want to start fighting. He's going to tell his father. His father's going to come beat you up. But you don't want to get any fighting here. So even though Mikra Din Midiraisa, the Cher Shot of a Katan is not Kona the Metzia, Mipnei Darchei Shalom, the Tanakama says, you don't take it away from him. Comes along Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah and says, Omer Gezel Gamor, it's a real Gzela Deraisa, it sounds like. They have real Kinyonim. So the Gemara says, Omer Chista Gezel Gamor Midireim. No, even Rabbi Yossi agrees it's not Gzela Deraisa. A cheresh shotev katan does not have the das to be kona things. It's only on a midirabanan level that they're kona the mitzvahs. And the gzela would only be gzela midirayim. So what's the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi by the mitzvah cheresh shotev katan? They're both saying it's gzela midirabanan. So the Gemara says, l'may nafkamina lhotzio bidayanim, whether you could be motzi bidayanim or not. Meaning if, let's say, the cheresh takes the mitzvah and I go ahead and steal it from him, so according to the Tanakhama, since it's only Darchei Shalom, you can't take it away from me. I'm the Gazlan. So I'm not allowed to do it, but if I do take the Gzela, you don't take it away from me. But according to Rabbi Yossi, no, we would chase after the Gazlan. Ah, it's only Gazlan Midirbanan. We'd still chase after him, and he would have to pay it back. So according to him, we see that you are Yotzi bin Dayanim, which would also mean you're Yotzi, you would be Yorei L'Nechasav. Even though Gzela of a cheresh shotev katan would be midirabanan, he would still say, even though the Gemara says hotziu b'dayanim, we would have to take, if let's say the guy lost the object, let's say he doesn't have the mitzi anymore, I stole it from the katan, I don't have it, they'd be yorer l'nechasev, they go down to my property and take it away. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds, even on dinei dirabanan, you are michet l'nechtina l'nechse. So then what's an afkamina in his world, according to Rabbi Yossi, bein shvua deraisa and shvua midirbanan. So the Gemara answers, ma'ika bein deraisa l'derbanan, ika b'nai shekenegdel chashid al hashvua. Let's say the guy is chashid, we don't trust him that he's going to take a shvua properly. He did something, he's a gazlan, so we don't trust the gazlan to take a shvua. So I'm the nitba, you're claiming money from me, I'm a gazlan. So the halacha is, I can't take a shvua. I mean, I can, but you're not going to trust my shvua. I'm a gazlan. Just like I steal, I could also lie. So what's the halacha? So if I'm not trusted, do we flip it now onto the toveya? Now with the toveya, take a shvua. So the Gemara says, shekenegdo chashid al shvua. So when me as a nitva, I'm chashid. You don't trust me on the shvua. So then b'deraisa, shekenegdo chashid al shvua, So by the Raisa, since I'm not trusted, we flip it onto the Toveya, so the Toveya will take the Shvua. But Bidirabanan, Takantahi, Bitakanta, Litakanta, Lo Avdinam. The reason why me as the Nitva, initially I'm supposed to take the Shvua, that's only a Takana Dirabanan. Now if I'm a Chashid al Shvua, to now flip it onto the Toveya, that's a double Dirabanan. That's like Ein Gozen Gzeila Gzeira. We don't make double Gzeiras, we don't make double Takanas. In which case, halacha would be, we would not flip the Shvuas Heses onto the Toveya. That would be the Nafkamina for Rabbi Yossi. Okay, the Gemara now says, a little further, that Ulirabanan, the Pligi Aled the Rabbi Yossi, Damu Bidirabanan, Lo Nachtinan Lenichse, Mai Avdinan Le. So back to that mission in Gittin, where Rabban hold, you can't go down to the guy's property when it comes to halachas of Midirabanim. So I steal the Katan's mitzir. So what, well now, we said we don't take it away from me. You can't be Motzi Midayanim. So what do you do? I could walk away with just keep it myself? Is there any way you could deal with me as a gazlan of the mitzir of the Katan? So the Gemara says, yes, Misham Tinalei, you place me in Nidoy, I get sent to Chayrim. Granted, you can't take my property away on Dinei Dirabanan, but what you can do is you can place me in Chayrim. The Gemara says, Chayrim, Amr Le Ravina Le Ravashi, Hai Nakte Bekuvse Dinashkwe Le Glimehu. So Rashi says, look at Rashi, I'm going just to read the Rashi inside here. Nakte Le Kuvse Dilashavke Le Glimehu. Ochso Bebeitzav Hatluyimbo, Ajitain Lo Tal Shalv. You're basically holding on to the guy until he's willing to release the shirt. And that's no better than Yorin L'Nechasev. That's another way of being Yorin L'Nechasev. Right? Even though they're not actively taking my property, but holding on to the guy in such a way where he's no way of releasing himself until he actually gives the property, that's tantamount to Yorin L'Nechasev. So that can't be what you're going to do to a guy who steals the mitzi of a katan. So Ela Mayav Dinalei, what do you do to such a guy who steals the gzela, the mitzi of a katan? So Amar Lei, Misham Tina Lei Ad Dimatiz Ma Nagde. You place him in Chayrim until it reaches the time of when he deserves Malkos, which Rashi says is 30 days. I mean, you place him in Nidoy for 30 days, and then Nagdina Lei, then you give him Malkos, you give him lashes after 30 days, Vishav Kina Lei, then you leave him alone. So that's what happens to a guy, again, who steals the Mitziva Katan, Nidoy for 30 days, Malkos, and then you let him be. But you cannot put him in such a situation where he's forced into giving up property. That would be exactly the same as Yored L'Nechasa. Okay, there's a lot going on here in the Gemara. Look at Tosas for a second. Tosas says that Dibur Maskel Mai Ika Bein Shvuah Derais L'Shvuah Derbanan. The Perak Kosef in Gemara in Ksubas Daf Peches Gavei Hodam Rav Nachman I Pikeach Shminan Maisi Lei Lidei Shvuah Deraisa. The Gemara is talking about a situation where you could force the guy to make a shvuah deraisa. And Rashi makes a comment there, what's shvuah deraisa? Perish bekuntris, dinafkamina, dibidiraisa by leminkad heftza biyade, u bidiraban labai. Rashi and Mechadesh, you know the difference is, a shvuah deraisa is more serious, more severe, that he has to hold on to a sefer Torah, tefillin, to take the shvuah. A shvuah midiraban doesn't have that requirement. Tosis doesn't like this. Tosas writes, V'ein near this doesn't appear correct. Tehahid nafkusa lo amrinan hacha. Had it really been a nafkamina, why didn't the Gemara in Shavuos Mem Aleph introduce it as a nafkamina? He therefore rejects Rashi's understanding. Rashi created his own nafkamina. So that's an interesting machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Now there's an interesting discussion also the Shavuos Yaakov has. Let's say two people come to Bezdin. And one person is Chayv Shavuos Deraisa, the other is Chayv Shavuos Midirabanan. Which one would go first? So one would naturally think a shvuah deraisa, which is much more serious, should come first, as opposed to shvuah midirabanan. Now, he doesn't quote this, but the Shah Gazari has a similar idea. It's based on a Pnei Yoshua. When it comes to halachas of tadir, v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem, a similar idea as well, that let's say you have the option of performing a mitzvah deraisa versus a mitzvah midirabanan. So Pnei Yoshua writes, a shvuah deraisa is considered more mukudosh than a mitzvah midirbanim. Right? The Gemara tells us in Kol HaTadir, in the Gemara in Tzvachim, that Kol HaTadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodim. So if you're going to perform, let's say, a mitzvah of talis versus tefillin, we put talis on first because talis is more tadir than tefillin, because we wear talis on Shabbos, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. But what about mekudosh v'sheino mekudosh? Something that's more holy versus something that's not as holy. So the Gemara says we also go mekudosh comes before v'sheino mekudosh. Comes up with karbanos. So Pnei Yeshua thinks, he's Mechadesh, that so too deraisas are considered more mekudosh than midirabanan. That's his chiddush. So they don't take this into effect in this conversation here, but the Shvush Yaakov thinks you go first with the deraisas because it's more chashiv. But comes along the Ksos HaChoshe and he argues and says no. Because had that really been true that a Shua deraisa comes before a Shua midirabanan, the Gemara would have brought that as a nafka mina here. It should say, you know the difference is between a Shua deraisa and a Shua derbanan, which one comes first? That's the will be the nafka mina. The Gemara never suggests it, so they think if two people come together, there you have to think of other reasons and why do you mock them this one versus that one, but it cannot be based on Shua deraisa versus Shua midirabanan. The Gemara now says halfway down the page, Amara Papa. Hai man, a person who dafik shtar al chavri. He takes out a shtar that you owe me money. Amarle. So the lova says back to him, shtar parua, who I already paid the money, I paid you $1,000. So Amarle, we say to him, lav kol kaminach. You don't have the right to just disqualify a shtar. It has a shtar that's been signed and approved by Bezdin. You can't just say you paid it unless you've aid him. So zil shalem, you have to go pay. Vim amar lishtabali. If the lova says, you know what? If you as the bank swear to me that I didn't pay you yet, so then Aminalay Yeshabalay, so we'd make the bank, we'd make the Malva swear that they weren't paid yet. So Amarle Rav Acha Brei Dirava L'Rav Ashi Ma Ben Zeh L'Pogei Meshara. What's the Chiddush? Of course the guy has no right to claim he paid it up already. What are we trying to learn? There's no different than a case of a Pogei Meshara. What's Pogei Meshara? So if you look at Rashi here, Rashi says L'Pogei Meshara. It's around a little bit more than halfway down the lines in Rashi. He quotes the mission Ksubas da Pezayin. Ha pogemes ksubasa, a woman whose pogemes are ksuba, that means, lo tifra el b'shvua. She could only collect if she takes a shvua. Normally, a woman's assumed to have not collected her ksuba. But what does pogemes mean? Ketad, ha'isa ksubasa el avzuz. Let's say your ksuba was worth $1,000. V'hu amar, and the husband says, hiskabalt ksubaseich. You already accepted your ksuba. I paid you up the 1,000 zuz. The Hiomeris, she says back, Lo eskabalti ela mana. I only got 100. I didn't get the full amount. You still owe me 900. So in this case, Hoel modis bimana pogemes es ashtar ksubasa. Since she admitted to receiving some of the amount money listed in the ksuba, she's now pogemes. She's now ruining the ksuba. The lo tifra hashar ela b'shua. She's only allowed to collect based on the shua. She has to swear. The ksuba is no longer considered a good ksuba because it says 1,000, and she admits she's not owed the full 1,000 anymore. The leka lemismeich tu ashtara, you can no longer rely on that shtar and that ksuba. Diklamemar tfei kabla, maybe she accepted more. Meaning, once she agreed that part of the ksuba has been paid, so how do we know where do you draw the line? Granted, she only said a mana, but maybe it's a little bit further. Maybe she accepted the full amount, so now she has to take a shvua. So of course you have to take a shvua. So in a situation where a person claims that she was only paid half the amount, she makes a shvuah. Certainly where a person denies the entire amount, where he says, I paid the entire shtar, certainly in that case, you would have to take a shvuah as well. So what's the difference between these two cases? So the Gemara says, Amrlei hasam by the case of pogem b'shtar, afa gav dilotoin ihu, even though the lova may not make a taina, tainina le anan, we make a taina for them. I mean, look at Rashi. Rashi explains, hasam, Gave pogam esharo. A woman admits she was paid some of the shtar, some of the ksuba. V'yafa gav delo ta'in lova. Even though the lova doesn't say ashtabeli, make a shvua for me. Ela omer prasicha, just says simply pay me. Tanina le anan v'amina libal hashtar hishaba. So we tell the person who holds the shtar that this case it's really the woman who holds the shtar that she's owed money. So we make her take the shvua. I mean, they don't have to initiate it. We say if you admit that some of the shtar is paid, you have to take a shrua to accept the rest of the money. Right? Again, the woman in this case is the malva. Right? She's owed money. The bank is owed money. So even though she never gave money, she never lent money for the ksuba, the fact that she's owed money, she's called the malva. So when she says, I'm owed money, you paid me some of it, but you owe me the rest, so then we as Bezin step in and say, okay, malva, make the shvua that you're owed money. That's by the case of pogim. When it comes to this case, Hacha, the Gemara says, here where the guy says, I paid everything, I owe you no money anymore, Amina Le, we say, Zil Shalem Le. The Lov has to pay the full amount. Vitayin V'amar Ishabali, but if the Lova says, I want the Malva to swear that I still owe money, so then Amina Le, Zil Ishabali. Then we make the Malva pay. But we don't initiate that. We don't force the Malva to swear unless the Lova initiates that. As opposed to the case of Pogei Meshtar, we as Bezdin would initiate it and make them take a Shvuah to start with. That's the difference between this case of denying the entire payment versus Pogei Meshtar. Now, V'it Tzura Mirabanan, if we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham, so then, hulo mishpainele, we don't make him take a Shvuah. So the Gemara says, not very fair here. Amalei Rav Yemar Rav Ashi Tzura Mirabanan Mishlach Glima Dinshe, he's going to collect everyone's shirt. I mean, the Talmud Chacham is the Malva, he's the bank. You owe me money. So we say, you can never force me to swear. So that means now, I could just collect the money, right? I owe you money, and you say to me, swear. And I said, no, I'm a Tzura Mirabanan, I don't make shruas, I'm not allowed to, just give me your shirt, pay me the money. That's not very fair that the Talmud Chacham could go ahead and collect from everyone. So the Gemara says, no. When it comes to a Tzura Mirabanan, alalo mizdakinan le ledina, we don't force him to come to Bezdin. What does that mean? So Rashi says, seven lines up, lo mizdakinan le Lishaba de Mechse de Chashinale. The Talmud Chacham says you owe me money. And you say, no, I don't. So now you make the Talmud Chacham swear. That means you're causing him a lie. You're calling him a liar that he's not owed any money. And it looks like he's choshed on Dinei Choshed Mishpah. And not only do we not make him take a Shua, but also Velo Ligvos Lo, he's not able to collect either. De Ha Amarle Ishabali de Lo Prasicha. So the Talmud Chacham is pretty much stuck as a bank. We don't let him take a Shua, because then it looks like his claims are false, and we don't let him collect either, because if you're not making a shvuah, you can't collect either, and therefore he's kind of stuck. So it's not a good suggestion, not a good advice for a Talmud Chacham to ever be a Tzurba Midirabanan. Now the Baal Chumos, the Sefer Chumos, asks a question on Rashi. If Talmud Chacham doesn't take a shvuah, and he's not able to collect the money either, he's kind of stuck, that's no different than a regular person as well. A regular person who doesn't want to take a shua is not allowed to collect either. Let's say the malv is on the bank. I say, oh, you owe me money, Andy. Andy says, no, I don't. Make a shua. So I make a shua that you owe me money. I'm told to make a shua. And I refuse. I said, I'm not making a shua. I don't want to take an oath. So if I'm not willing to take a shua as a bank, I can't collect the money from Andy either. So how is a Talmud Chacham any different than a bank that refuses to take a shua? If I don't take a shvuah, I can't take. A Talmud Chacham doesn't take a shvuah, he doesn't collect either. There's no difference between a Talmud Chacham and a regular Adam. So the Sefer Chumos ends up writing as follows. The Nafkamina is, Itafas velo nishba if remotzim miyado. Let's say as a Talmud Chacham, I go ahead and take the object from Andy, I get to keep it. I'm not advised to, I'm not encouraged to go ahead and do that, but im tafas, ein motzim miyado. As opposed to a regular Shar Adam who refuses to take a Shvuah on his own, and he goes ahead and takes it from Andy, we would be Miltzir Miyada, we would take it out of his possession. He has no right to do that. So that is the Nafkamina, even though both a Talmud Chacham and Shar Adam are Ein Shvuah and Vein Olin Im Tafas, are whether Motzin or Ein Motzin Biyado. Now the Sefer Chumash himself doesn't really like that Nafkamina. He ends up saying the other Nafkamina really is where, I don't get this Nafkamina so much, but where the where we force him to take a shvuah. So even though in the end of the day we say Talmud Chacham doesn't take a shvuah, if he does go ahead and take a shvuah outside of Bezdin, we accept the shvuah of a Talmud Chacham. As opposed to Shar Adam, their shvuah is only accepted in Bezdin. So I'm not sure what to do with that exactly, but there's a whole long discussion of other nafka minas between a Tzura Midirabanan and Shar B'nei Adam.
So Talmud Chacham, we don't let him do it under any circumstances. The bank's still getting the option if they
want to
do it.
That would be simply right. They can if they want. They're opting out of it. We don't even give that option on the table. But I guess in the end, I guess that option is not enough of a nafka mina. But I hear.
It says that if he wants, he can swear and collect.
Oh, he can, really?
It says in the Rush.
In the Rush, So Rush. Within Rashi, it sounds like we don't let him. But the Rush, I guess. Okay, then for the Rush, that wouldn't be in the Afkamina. But Rashi sounds like it would. We would not even let him take a Shua. Okay. Says the Gemara, last five lines. Mana libiyadeh v'chule, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav Asi, Amal v'eschaveiro be'edim. A guy who lends money with witnesses, he needs to get paid back with witnesses present. When they said this in front of Shmuel, Amr Li, Yachalomar lo, Prasicha, Bifne Ploni, Ploni, Vahalchulhem lo Medina Sayam. You could always claim, yeah, I gave it in front of Reuven and Shimon, but you know what? They're overseas now and I can't really find them. So that's the claim Shmuel says you could always wiggle out of, and again, assuming we're going to trust the guy, he can't make it up, obviously. but you're allowed to use that taina to get off the hook. So the Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah, Tana and money libi yodech, the Mishnah says, if you have money in your hand that you owe me, Amar lo hein, I do, you're right. Lamacha Amar lo tineuli, and the next day the guy says, I want you to give it to me now. I already gave it to you yesterday. Potter, he's off the hook. How are you off the hook? Baha, isn't this a case of hacha? Kevan de tave be'edim, kimanda ozfe be'edim dami, v'katani potter. So what's going on here is, when I made the initial loan, there were no edim. We don't know if they're edim or not. When I made the claim that you owe me money, and you had admitted to owing me money, there were edim that were present there. So now we're assuming, if they were edim, when I made the tevia, it's as if I lent the money be'edim as well. So how come when you pay me back, there were no aid and they were present? Just look at Rashi to make it clear. Last two lines, Rashi says, V'ha-ha-cha kevin de-tavai be'edim, since I was tovei from you in front of Edim, v'ho de-lo b'fneim, and you admitted that you owe me money in front of these Edim, kiman de-os fe-be'edim dami. It's as if I lent you money initially with Edim as well. So how come you could come along the next day and say you paid me off already, there were no Edim to tell me, to prove that to you? So we see that the statement is incorrect. It's a tiyufta. The Gemara says on the going on to Amud Beis now. This is a tiyufta de Rav Asi, that even though it was lent be'edim, you don't have to pay be'edim. You could simply pay, simply claim that you paid and you'd be off the hook. So Amalach Rav Asi, Rav Asi says no. Ana ki amri, when I said you need to pay back with edim, it's only heicha de mei kara. Only when the initial loan was given with Edim. Why did I want Edim to be there when I was lending you money? Because I don't trust you. So I had there made sure that there are two Edim watching this loan, and I don't trust you, so pay me back in front of two Edim. But hacha here, when I initially lent you money, there were no Edim. It's only when I made the Tavia from you, when I claimed the money, that I set up Edim, hacha hemne. When I initially lent money to you, I didn't require there to be Edim, means I trust you. So when you pay back the money to me without Edim, I trust you as well, and for that reason, you're pater. But in a regular case where there were Edim b'shas halva, then you need to be pareya with shnei Edim as well. Gemara says three lines down, Rav Yosef Masni Hachi, he taught as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, hamal ves chaver be'edim eino tzarech leparo be'edim. You don't need Edim to be present when you pay. But v'im amar, if you make the following stipulation, v'im amar, al tifreini ela be'edim, then tzarech leparo be'edim. If you make it clear and stipulate that you want to be paid with Edim, so then you have to meet that tonight. But without saying that, even though there may have been Edim present, that does not assume that you have to pay back with Edim. So ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, when they said this in front of Shmuel, amr li, yachal omar lo, preasicha b'fnei ploni, ploni, v'halchu lehem, l'medines hayam. You could always claim, I paid you back already. And Reuben and Shimon saw me pay you back, but they happened to be overseas, and therefore I can't bring them now. So there's a discussion whether or not, there's a slight machlokas what the reason for this is, why you have to pay in front of Shnei Edim. Is it because the lova is mishtabed lemalva? There's a concept that eved lova l'ish malva, that a lova is a servant to the malva. The malva lent money. So I'm a shubatim now. He did a tova for me. So whatever he requires, I need to meet those requirements. That's number one. Pshat, that's most rishonim. Others say no. It's simply because once the malva put that stipulation in, that I want there to be Edim when you pay, and if you don't pay that way, it looks like you're a liar. It's slightly different, but they're nafka minas. So they end up saying, what happens if if I'm meyachid Edim, I said I paid in front of Reuven and Shimon, but they're dead now. Is that going to work, or does it only work if they're over b'medinis hayam? So they explain, if the whole idea of the Edim, it's a fear factor, that it may show up, so then it only works if they're alive, and b'medinis hayam, they could show up any given day. But if they're dead, then it doesn't really work. The Rambam says, if I'm meyachid Edim, and I say that they're actually dead, so then I would still be trusted, and that would get me off the hook. There's no fear factor. So the Rambam says, the whole idea is, when the reason I need to pay in front of two Edim, is because I might lie. Because if you ask me to pay in front of two Edim and I don't, I come off as a liar. But if I say I paid in front of two Edim, they're just dead, there's no lie there. It's not about a fear factor, it's about whether I'm lying or not lying. So if I said they're two Edim, but they happen to be dead right now, that would not be considered a lie, and I would be trusted in that case according to Shitas HaRambam. Gemara now says, Tanan, The Mishnah says, "Mani libi yadech, you have a mana of mine in your possession." Amar lo, hey, not true, I do. Amar lo, al tineu li ela bifnei edim. I want you to pay me back only in front of two edim. Lamachar, the next day, Amar lo, tineu le, give me the money now that you admitted you owe me. He says back, "Nisativ lecha, I already paid you. Remember, chayev, you have to pay back. We don't trust." Mipnei shetzarach liten lo beedim tiyufta deshmu. Because you have to pay in front of Edom. You made a stipulation that you have to pay me back in front of Edom, and I didn't pay in front of Edom. So therefore, I have to pay, even though I admitted I paid. It doesn't work. You need to bring Edom. So this akasha to Shmuel, to Yufta to Shmuel, because Shmuel held that I could always claim I paid in front of two Edom. They just happened to be overseas. Now the fact that Mishnah doesn't give that suggestion here tells us that Shmuel would seemingly be incorrect. So Shmuel says, Amar lecha Shmuel, it's a Tanahi. It's a really machlokas Tanaim whether or not that taina works. So the taina of saying, yes, I paid you back in front of Edim, they're just in Medinas Hayam, is that effective? What's the Tanai? Where do we see this? The Tani, the Baisa tells us. The Edim Hilvisicha, Be'edim Parali. I lent you money with Edim, I wanted you to pay me back with Edim. O Yitain, or pay me the bunny. O Yavi, Raya, Shinasan, or bring proof, bring Edim that you paid me back already. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera Omer, Yachalomar lo, prasicha b'fnei ploni uploni, v'ha'ochu lehem, the Medinas Hayam. So we see it's a mefurish machlokas tanaim, whether we could trust such a taina of, yeah, I paid you back in front of Edom, they're just not here right now. So Shmuel is dependent on this machlokas tanaim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Gemara says, Parach Rav Acha says, not so clear. Mimai de b'shas halva kai. Whoever said that this brisa is talking about that there were Edom present when you lent the money. Dilma b'shas tevia kai. Maybe the Edom were only present when you were tovea for me the money. But when you lent money to me initially, maybe they were never Edom. V'hachi kamerle. This is what he's saying. La b'edim huvesicha b'edim. La, I didn't lend you money in front of Edom, but b'edim hayalachal parani. But I want you to pay me back in front of Edom. Aval b'shas hava. But maybe if it were to be a case where there were Edom that were present with Shas Hava, Divri Ako Chayv, everyone would agree you're Chayv, and you would not trust the Taina of, yeah, I pay you back in front of two Edom, they're just overseas. So it's not so clear from this Brisa if it's Shas Hava or Shas Tviya, and not a Raya for Shmuel, that's a Machlokas tonight.
Wait, is Hachi Ka'amarlai, when he says Hachi Ka'amarlai, La Be'edim Elisicha, is that rhetorical? Like, did I not lend you with Edom? Or is he saying, I didn't?
But if it would be rhetorical, then it would go against. He's trying to prove, I thought, that B'Shas Tevia. So if it really was Shas Hava, then V'chi lo, la B'Edom Havisicha, did I not lend you in front of Edom? Then it wouldn't seemingly answer the question then.
Well, only because he's not, at the moment, he's not B'Shas Hava, but he's like recapping what happened.
But then he's claiming that there were Edom B'Shas Hava, no? Mm-hmm. But we're trying to prove that it was only Shas Tevia. So I think the Masifta says what you're saying, but I don't understand how that makes sense in everything. V'chilo v'sicha v'edim, did I not lend you money in front of Edom? And therefore you should pay me back in front of Edom. But we're trying to prove that it was only Shas Tevia. So I don't know, I'm not sure how the article reads it or not.
Since just as eyewitnesses who observe the loan, so you must produce witnesses to vouch for the repayment.
But then how does that prove that we're talking about case of three? Okay.
Only because, I guess, he's not saying it at the moment of the loan. He's saying it at the Shas Tevia, like recapping that I had Edom at the...
Since it wasn't specified. That's what we said before. Said that if you make a stipulation, then everyone agrees you need it. But if there were Edom that were present, but I never stipulated it, so then you're not required to pay back in front of Edom. So here, there were Edom that were present when you lent me the money, but we didn't say it. So now I'm trying to create the stipulation.
I'm saying what? Did I not do it?
Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rapapi Mishmei Derava Hilchasa Hamal Veschaveir Be'edim Tarach Lefar Be'edim. If there were Edom present when you lend the money, then you need to have Edom to pay back the money. Rapapa Mishmei Derava Amar Hamal Veschaveir Be'edim Ein Tarach Lefar Be'edim. They have the opposite conclusion. But v'im amar lo, if they make the stipulation am amar al tifreini el be'edim, then sarach lepar be'edim, then you would have to pay back if you made such a stipulation. V'im amar lo prasicha b'fnei ploni uploni, if you said, yeah, I paid you back and Reuven and Shimon were there, halachu lehem l'medinas hayam, but they are overseas, neman, that is a trusted taina like Shmuel. Okay, Gemara now says, Simon, Reuven, Shimon, Ditanu, Hilchasa, Yazfe, Para, Ploni, Apsi, Satri, Behamnusa, Kibetre. Okay, number of sugyas coming up right now. So the Gemara says, "Ahu damar le lechavre." Guy says to his friend, "Ki parasin parani ba'api Ruvain v'Shimon." When you pay me back the money, I want Ruvain and Shimon. I specify which two Adam I want them to be present. Azul lepari ba'api trei ba'alma. He went ahead, paid him back in front of two other random guys. It wasn't Ruvain and Shimon. So what happened? So Amar Bai says, "Ba'api betrei." He gave them back in front of two Adam. Amar le ba'api betrei. So he asked for two Edim, Amarle, and he paid back in front of two Edim. He specified two. He didn't really care about Reuven and Shimon. He just wanted to make sure there were two good Edim. And there were two good Edim, and therefore we trust him that he paid back properly. But comes along Amarle Rava, Lahachi Kamarle Bape Reuven Shimon, Kechadilal Nidche. No, that was the whole point. He dafka specified Reuven and Shimon because he didn't want to try to make up games and try to find some other Edim. So although Abai thinks you don't have to really give in front of Reuven and Shimon, that's not considered a stipulation that you have to meet. That simply means I want to aid him. Rava argues and says, no. When you specify the aid him, it means you could only pay back in front of those aid him. Anything short of that would not qualify as a good piron. Gemara now says, "Ahu d'amar le lechavre." Another guy says to his friend, "Ki parasi li piron li bape beitrei d'tanu hilchasa." When you pay me back, I want you to pay me back in front of two great talmidei chacham who learn and teach halacha. So Azul Pari Bain Delay Lididlay. He ended up paying back and no one was there. Here's the money back. I don't want to hold on to it any longer. Take the money, it's all yours. Is Nisei Hanich Zuzay. What happened was the Malba got paid back, but then he lost $1,000 he was given back. All the coins dropped down the drain somewhere. So Asla Kamidir Rav Nachman. When they went to Rav Nachman, Amrlay in, he agreed, the Malba agreed, in Kibuli Kibalsinu, I mean, I accepted the money, but that was Derech Pikadon. I was just watching the money for him. The Amrinale, I said, Gave Pikadon Adim Mishrame Betray Detanu Hilchoso, whom Makayim tonight. I was holding on to them for him till he brought me the two Adim who were very learned people. Until then, it's still considered his money, not my money. And therefore, as a shomer, I'm pater from Onus, and he still owes me the money from the halva. So Amar Lei, Kaven de Kamodis, Devadei Shakla Sinu Minei, Piron Ma'al Yahavyeh. Even though, since he says that he admitted to accepting the money, that's considered a payment. That's a joke to think it's a pikadam. That's a full payment. Now, Iyamis Lekume Tanai. Oh, you want to fulfill that Tanai, right? The Tanu Hilchata? I'll tell you what to do. Zil Aisine Deha Ana, go bring me the money now. Ana Rav Sheshis, the Tanina Hilchata, Vesafra, Vesifra, Vetosefta, Vechu Tamuda. Come, we'll be your witnesses now. Pay him back again in front of us, and we'll fulfill that Tanai. That's a very strange thing. You already pay back the money. So what do you mean pay back money a second time? What are you trying to accomplish here? So look at Tosos, right? It's a very short Tosos here. Ha'ana v'harav sheshes b'dichusa ba'ama. Who's a joke? The kamahadir le v'la mishim d'tzarch l'kayim tanai. Meaning, get over it, guys. Come on. You want to aid him? What kind of tanai is that? That's a joke. You paid him back. You accepted it. You acknowledged receiving the $1,000. Case closed.
I thought he was also saying, like, okay, bring me back the money. As if, like, you're not doing this because you lost the money. You're just doing it because you wanted to, like, be officially in the presence of two Tamei Chachamim.
Yeah?
Or not?
Could be, I don't know. Ha'hu damar lechavre, another case. Havli me'azuze do ziftecha. Give me the $100 that I lent you. Amalei says, lo ha'yudva me'olim, this never happened. I don't owe you any money. I never borrowed money from you. So Azil Isi Sade Dozve, he goes ahead and brings to Adim that were there that I did lend you money. Upare, but they also said that you pay the money. So Amr Abaye said, my Navi, what are you supposed to do? They admitted that they testified that we saw him receive money, we also saw him pay back the money. So maybe he should be off the hook. So they say, Inu Amri Ozve, Inu Amri Pare. They said he lent money, but they also said he paid back. So therefore he would seemingly be off the hook. But Rav Amar, Kol ha'omer lo lavisi, ka'omer lo parati dami. Once you say, I never borrowed money, it's as if you say, you didn't pay. There are Edim that say you paid. We don't trust him. Because, hoda, right? Person admits it's kameya Edim dami. So we have Edim that he lent money, or borrowed money. And then we have himself admitting he never paid the money, that he never borrowed it, which means he never paid it back either. So in that case, Rava says you would have to pay the full amount. And the final case for today, the Gemara says, "Ahu d'amar lei lechavre." Guy says to his friend, "Nahavli me'azuzei d'masiknem b'cha." Give me the money back that you owe me. Amar lei lo prasicha b'fnei ploni aploni. I paid you back in front of Reuven and Shimon. Asu ploni aploni. Amar lei lo ha'yidu amayol. Not true. We never there. We did not see you pay any money back to him. So Savar Rav Sheshis Lemei, my Rav Sheshis wanted to say, Huchsa Kafron, this guy is not trusted anymore. We don't trust him at all. He has to pay the money. We don't even trust the Shvua, says Rashi. He lied. He said, I paid in front of his Edim. Amar Lei Rava. Rava says, no, don't get not so fast. Anything that's not really incumbent upon a person, he doesn't really pay attention to so much. What does that mean? The Rashi says, the last Rashi in the page here, this guy didn't have to say he paid in front of Edom. This type of loan was never made with the stipulation of needing Edom. He didn't have to pay with Edom at all. But he happened to say he paid, he thought there were Edom present. Hilkach, lo sam libo litzkor im be'edim para im shalo be'edim. Since he never had to pay with Edom, he never really paid attention when he paid if there were Edom there or not, because he didn't really care to or not. So when he said he paid in front of Edom, he really wasn't paying attention, and for that reason, the fact that he claimed that there were Edom and they really weren't Edom doesn't put him in a bad situation, and he's not considered a hochzak kacham. This is a great example of how Chosha Mishpat, really everything gets thrown on its head. You like think one thing and it goes a completely different direction.